It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You boys are doing all that you can do. Anybody can see that. Win or lose, we're going to walk out of this stadium tonight with our heads held high. Do your best. That's all anybody can ask for.
No, it ain't, Coach. In all due respect, you demanded more of us. You demanded perfection. Now, I ain't saying that I'm perfect, because I'm not. And I ain't going to never be. None of us are. But we have won every single game we have played till now. So this team is perfect. We stepped out on that field that way tonight. And if it's all the same to you, Coach Boone, that's how we want to leave it.
We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You are in the Where's Huddle with me, Bram. And with me, as always, my boy and producer, Scott.
Scott here.
And our resident insider, the San Francisco Chronicle's beat writer for the Golden State Warriors, and a man who always seems to know what radio station Damon Bruce is on, Rusty Simmons. What's going on, Rusty?
Hey, I'm in Boston. I like this city. It's fun here.
I appreciate it. Also, let me offer you a couple of advanced thank yous for all of your takes today. I'm sure we're really looking forward to them.
Yeah, I'm going to try to give you one or two that are good.
There you go. Neither of you found that funny. I mean, I'm hearkening back to the whole advance thing. You guys are terrible. You have no sense of humor. Russ, did you say we did find you, in fact, in Boston for that?
Yeah, we flew in this afternoon, so that should be nice. Get to unpack and have a couple days off here, and they don't play again until Friday, so this is kind of fantastic. This is like a baseball writer beat. This is great.
From the outside looking in, you have this ideal profession. You're following around this amazing team. As the man who's actually living it, you know, going through all these cities in this few days, is this enjoyable or a pain in the ass?
Oh, I'm loving it. I love every second of it. I realize now that it's odd to be enjoying it, because everyone I run into says, man, this has got to be killing you, having the circus around, having to fight to get quotes. But I love it. I covered so many Warriors teams that I was the only person there, and I was trying to write interesting stories about 10-day contract guys to keep the readers still involved, engaged somehow. I love this. I mean, there are 50 to 70 reporters in the locker room tripping over each other. We watch a beautiful brand of basketball every day, and when you win, the players are super happy. So I don't know what we can complain about during this.
You're saying that you don't miss the days of like Charles Jenkins and Speedy Claxton, or what?
Those are all great stories. Charles Jenkins, Chris Hunter, Anthony Tolliver. I can go on and on. I covered all of them. I covered every 10-day contract player that ever existed, I think. But no, I don't. I don't miss those days. Those are some very fun stories to tell for one day. This is a great story to tell for months, and probably for centuries after this.
Scotty's face will explode if we don't move on, so I'll take his silent cues.
No, I'm just here. Like, I would like to talk about this undefeated team. You guys are over here talking about Charles Jenkins.
These are jokes, Scotty. They're jokes. It's okay to have a little banter in the beginning.
They're terrible jokes.
Oh, my God. No sense of humor.
And actually, it's really important to bring up Charles Jenkins, because he almost blew this whole thing. When the Warriors were desperately trying to tank going into the 2012 draft, he almost ruined it all in Minnesota, because he went nuts and started scoring all these points. And the Warriors still were tied for their lottery spot, had to have a coin flip, and then had to have the lottery go their way for the 2000 draft to net them Harrison Barnes, Draymond Green, Festus Ezeli. So Charles Jenkins is that person to bring up all year long.
Boom. Suck on that, Scotty. He brought it right back to the current team. Now, let's push ourselves into the first segment. Maybe my favorite one, the Insider's Report. Scott and I have no real access to this team, unfortunately, outside of watching them on TV. Fortunately, Rusty does, and in this segment, we try to take advantage of that. Rusty, you already kind of jumped in to the first thing I wanted to ask you about, and it's how has covering this team changed? Is it like covering the Beatles now? I mean, you mentioned there's national media everywhere. What's it like traveling with them?
Yeah, it's absurd. At their hotels, there are autograph seekers just piled around. There were actually some outside the practice at Emerson College today. I'm not sure how they figured out they were there. Before the games, arenas are starting to open early so that people can get in there to watch Steph Curry shoot pregame.
Let me just stop you there for a second, because have you seen Curry do this warm-up routine? And is it really something worth watching? Because I have never been too attracted to the idea of coming to see some guy warm up and shoot jump shots.
And don't worry, Rusty, if you start getting momentum in this next story, Scott will cut you off then too. So, you know, try not to get too comfortable with your response.
Yeah, so I was the guy who would watch these pregame warm-ups of Stephen Curry in 2009 because it's fascinating and amazing to watch. And I think Bruce Frazier, who's kind of his personal assistant coach, said it perfectly. It's like getting to go watch McGuire or Bonds during their heyday take batting practice. Instead of getting to see four at bats during the game, you get to see a bulk of their amazingness. And that's what it is with Curry. And because of the player that he is, he brings a certain flair to it and makes it super interesting. And it's a fascinating thing to watch thousands of people watching something that doesn't matter, that nobody's keeping track of. There are no scores, but they're sitting there taping it all with their smartphones and mouth agape, just mesmerized by what he's doing.
And from what I hear, he makes a lot of those shots and warm-ups, and I think it's really becoming hard to discern warm-ups versus games for him because he's been so on fire.
I mean, you know what I love about the stories? I have season tickets and yet have never actually watched that opening. And I do. I have some interest in it. But the thing that really speaks to me is that we're aware of it. It's, you know, it's sign number 5 million that Steph has not only arrived as a player, but has arrived as a true superstar. The concept that we're interested in how this guy gets ready for games, let alone what he actually does, you know, after the whistle is blown, shows how high his star is rising, which leads me to this next thing. Before Scott cut you off, I was hoping to gain a little momentum and go in this direction, and it was this. While I'm interested in how the team is being received, really what I'm interested in is how Steph was received in Charlotte specifically. You know, so he put up the 28 in the third quarter, and the thing that stuck out to me is at the end of that, he waves his arms in the air, and the crowd reacts like they're at a Davidson game. You know, I mean, they treated him like a hometown hero. It made me worry, what kind of reception is this guy getting in Charlotte behind the scenes, and are they actively recruiting him, Rusty? What are you seeing there?
Oh, clearly they're after him. They did everything but put up a billboard that said, "Come here, please, Steph." I mean, they honored his father before the game, flew his entire family there, brought every dignitary that they could find in Charlotte to come help Del Curry get the key. And then they let him score 28 points in the third quarter. So that was pretty fascinating, too. That was part of it.
I'll say something that I'm sure the Chronicle would not let you say, Rusty. You, Charlotte, more than anything, back off our player. I feel that this is tampering. But the thing that kind of stuck out and bothered me and that made me even ask you this question is this notion that they used Del Curry to give out Curry jerseys during that game. You know, and ostensibly, obviously, it's for his father, but they could have done that any night. They didn't have to do that when Steph was in town. It's so obvious that they're pandering to him. Back off. He's playing for Golden State, should be there for his career. I just don't need to see that.
Well, I'll give a lot of credit to Davidson because they came out and said, "We will not retire Steph Curry's jersey. We won't put it up in the rafters until he graduates." And he hasn't graduated yet, so he's not getting the golden treatment from everyone down there.
Well, there you go. I know.
But Davidson will fly him in and let him sit behind the bench and let him have a press conference on their site and talk to all the students and help recruit. But his jersey came retired.
Since there is a 0% chance that he leaves the Warriors to go play for Davidson, they can give him 8 jerseys. I don't care. I just want to make sure the Hornets stay the hell off our player, man. It's just ridiculous from my standpoint. What's your guys' guess, by the way? Does Steph at some point in his career don a Charlotte jersey?
Absolutely, yeah.
Ugh.
But it's going to be after you care. I mean, in 2 years, he's going to sign a max deal with the Warriors and help him lead to another couple championships. But his dad played for 16 years for a reason, that he could stand in the corner and shoot a three-pointer. And Steph's going to be able to do that if he wants to for 16 or 20 years in the league. And so by the time he finally does go back and play for Charlotte, he's not going to be the Steph Curry we see right now. He's going to be a sixth, seventh man who comes in and shoots three-pointers. And he wants to do that at home sometime.
I'm sorry, Resty, did you say it'll be After I Care? Have you and I met? Do we or do we not co-host a show? I'm pretty, if he played for them when he was 95, I would care, man. I don't want to see it happen at any point, but I do agree with you. Marcus Thompson told Scotty and I that, what, a couple years back?
It's better than him playing for the Warriors for 20 years. You got to watch him like you're like Lakers fans are watching Kobe.
Factually incorrect. I would prefer that. I would still prefer that.
Really?
Wait, so, I mean, Rusty, do you think, I think there's a certain type of NBA superstar who cannot accept the bench role. And, I mean, you look at a guy like Kobe and Iverson, they couldn't do it. They said, you know what, I'd rather just not be playing. Where do you think Steph falls in that? Is he truly the type of guy, after achieving this kind of success, who could just come off the bench for a team?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he's a new breed of superstar. Like, he calls you while he's on vacation from an unblocked number.
Yeah, who's the you in that sentence? Because he hasn't called us at all.
Yeah, well, it's only been from block numbers.
I'll give him your numbers. He'll start calling.
Yeah, okay, great. I'll start holding my breath now.
He's never going to be the guy who cares about what his role is. He cares about winning. He cares about having fun. He cares about being in the right situation. He cares about his family. But whether he is out there when the ball gets tipped off or whether he's out there at the end of the game, I don't think he cares. What's important to him is are things that are very different than that. And that makes him different than every superstar in the world. Every other superstar in the world is thinking about how do I get mine and what endorsement deals do I need. At the All-Star break last year, a major beverage company came to Steph and said, hey, look, we want to have you, and offered an insane amount of money. And Steph said, man, you didn't want me when my ankles were hurt.
Yeah.
I'm sticking with what I got.
Badass.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's the way Curry is.
Well, I tell you what, Rusty, in 15 years, 20 years, whenever Steph starts putting on another person's jersey, let's say as Charlotte, I'm going to call you while wearing his retired Davidson jersey and tell you to go fuck yourself. I still really care. This is bothering me. But we'll save that. We got a couple of decades before we get there, yeah?
Yeah, it's going to be a while.
Final Insiders Report question. One of the kind of cool upsides of this current streak is that like 90% of the Warriors games has found their way on to national telecasts. ESPN is picking us up. TNT is picking us up. We are leading SportsCenter constantly. My question for you is this like the NFL? Like for the NFL, we hear those nationally televised games, Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, Sunday Night Football. The players get up for them. They care more. From what you can tell for the Warriors, these games that do appear on national spots, do they care? I mean, does that mean something to these guys?
I think 3 or 4 years ago it did. When they were getting a handful, 6, 8 national TV games a year, you could tell there was a different buzz and they were into it. Now it's almost like they're embarrassed when it's not on national TV. They do love the circus and everything that comes with that media attention, but they're getting it in the locker room right now, and they expect to be on national TV every night. They kind of look around at the other games and they're like, why would we not be on national TV? We got the streak going still, don't we? Yeah, we should be on national TV every night.
And that's one thing that I love about this team is I feel like these guys are greedy in a really good way. And they're greedy in a way that is so Bay Area. I mean, San Francisco founded on the gold rush, right? Just greedy people coming out here trying to make a dollar. The first dot-com bubble, people come out. You know, now we're in this second tech wave. The Bay Area is a greedy place. This is the Bay's team. This is a greedy team. I love it. They want to keep going for win after win after win.
As a resident of Oakland, also the place where the Golden State Warriors happen to play all of their home games, I like that you went through that Bay Area speech and didn't give any credit for Oakland. Also, I'm going to go ahead and question the whole we started on the gold rush thing, but since this isn't a California history podcast, which would be god-awfully boring, I'm going to push us off into another direction. In fact, why don't we move into our next segment, Warriors Update. For those who are new to the show, this is where we go through our macro observations of the past game. Let me start it this way. Rusty, when you screwed us last week...
Can you explain what macro means to me again?
Oh,
I like do that once every podcast.
You know, I could try. I did it last time, and that's just what that's showing to me is that you didn't listen in addition to screwing us over. You know, whatever. This point does, in fact, have to do with the last podcast. Scott and I were over the top optimistic. I started getting texts, emails. We had a lot of feedback that we were being too optimistic. We were being too positive about this team. And let me start with a message for those guys. You guys are idiots. For those people who are watching this and thinking that this is really cool, but within the bounds of normal, you know, like finding a $20 bill on the street or something, you are missing out on one of the greatest sports experiences of all time. There have only been two teams in the history of the sport who have done what the Warriors are doing. So please, everybody, I say again, make sure you actually enjoy this. If I could find a time machine, hop into it, go back and talk to, you know, the past me who was rooting for Anthony Tolliver, who was pulling for Vontigo Cummings and told past Bram that the Warriors would be 23-0 and the undefeated champions of the world, there is no way I would believe that. Zero chance. So please, everybody, this is amazing. Enjoy it because we may never see it again.
Yeah, and you don't have to go that far back into the past to think that this was impossible. They were horrible during the preseason, and I thought they gave every existence that they were going to be horrible at the beginning of the season, and that happens. But there's championship hangover. They didn't have their coach. They would turn it on when they needed to, and they'd be fine in the playoffs. From them to go to that, to winning 23 straight games to start a season, 13 of those on the road, it's been absolutely remarkable. And the way that they're dancing and being charming through it is something that we'll all look back on and cherish. It's a really cool thing if you know it right now and you can eat up every moment. And I think that's what makes the Warriors special, is I think these guys are actually doing that. That they're one, enjoying the moment they're in, and they're two, focusing on the next moment that comes up. And that's how you beat team after team after team. You don't get too far ahead of yourselves, and you don't allow yourself to look backward.
And for those of us, I think, who have heeded Bram's advice and are really enjoying this, I think one macro point that has stuck out to me is...
What kind of point? Oh, macro, I'm sorry.
A macro point.
Yeah, gotcha.
Is how, you know, Rusty, you've been following this team for a long time. Bram and I have been watching them too. And now that we've been with this team and watched so many games, you're starting to see the subtle way that the different Warrior players are picking up different kind of skills from the others. You're seeing Draymond starting to hit floaters like Steph does. I feel like Azili has been doing some nice passing like Bogut did. And you're starting to see them really rub off on each other. And I love that.
Don't you lump me into your watching experience, you Washington fan. Between the three of us, I feel like I should probably be on the other side of that fence. I may have been rooting for this team longer than Rusty. We'll have that discussion down the line. One last macro point.
Well, I mean, are you going to react to that? Or are you just going to take that? I mean, do you agree or not?
I don't know. I was blinded by the fact that you tried to lump me into your Washington S. I have no idea what you said beyond that. I that's not true. I do think that some of their skill sets have rubbed off onto one another. I don't know if Festus is anywhere near the passer that Bogut is, but I do understand the point that you're making. I will also say just the game-by-game experience. Look at that last game against Indiana. I thought they looked kind of in the first quarter. They looked tired. They looked a little bit distracted. I turn away, turn back in.
Yeah, they were horrible when they were up 25.
Then they were up 25. I mean, they literally, then, despite looking poor, they suddenly built the 19-point lead. The other thing that I wanted to put down, and we've already given them enough praise, but I have to say it again, Steph is on one hell of a tear, man. We've mentioned the 28 points he put up in the third quarter. He had the 41-point spot that he put up against Toronto. I honestly believe that if you are drafting a team right now and your goal is to win NBA games, Steph is the number one player off the board. Put differently, the best player on earth. Would you guys agree with me on that?
How long am I drafting him for?
From here on out, for the remainder of their careers. You're starting a team today. Who would you pick?
Anthony Davis.
You bastard. Ugh.
No, come on, Rusty. Come on.
Now, Scott, am I a bigger fan than he is? Would you mind saying it this way? Or
I wasn't listening to what you said. no, Rusty, that's legitimate? Like, that's how you feel?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you give one reason?
Stephen Curry is awesome, and he has proven to us that he's going to continue to get better. He can't help himself. He was on a shoe tour this year that had an insane itinerary, and he still found 4 hours a day to work out. The guy is going to keep working and keep getting better.
But
he's also he's also being helped by a perfect complementary lineup. He has a shooting guard who spaces the floor for him. He has a shooting guard who guards tough point guards for him. He has a power forward who is the perfect outlet valve when he gets blitzed and double teamed. He has two centers who don't care about ever touching the ball, but play defense and cover up his defensive mistakes. He has Andre Iguodala, who every time that Stephen Curry doesn't want to say something, Iguodala does it for him. He has a perfect complement around him. He's fantastic.
Yeah, but that those.
If I could have Anthony Davis right now, he's 8 inches, 9 inches taller than Stephen Curry, and can do many of the things that Stephen Curry can do. I'm taking the. Size still does matter in the NBA, and definitely positional size still matters. And I'm taking Anthony Davis, who's younger and can do a lot of those things. I'm taking that guy, and I'm thinking that I can coach him up to be the best player in the world.
I wouldn't expect any calls from any block numbers anytime soon, man. In fact, hopefully he's listening to all of this. Also, let the record reflect that I'm currently flipping off the microphone. That's for you, Rusty.
No, I mean, I think that you're right that he does have a great supporting cast. But what I've seen over these last couple games is that supporting cast is not always there for him like you would want them to be. And it's been his heroics and his play that has kept this team undefeated. It's actually something that worries me a little bit, is they may be coming too dependent on his heroics.
I'll piggyback that. One of the things I think has been amazing, what Kerr is not getting enough credit for, is he's installed this system that reminds me of the West Coast offense when Bill Walsh first brought it to the table. That the Warriors are running something now that is quite simply above and ahead of everything the rest of the NBA is doing. And the reason they can do that, the centerpiece for that, the way that they get that spacing, is Steph Curry. If I replaced Steph Curry with Anthony Davis, we would not be able to be running the same system. And because of that, I don't think we'd be running off to the same leads or the same dominance that we're seeing. So if I'm selecting a team, I understand everything you're saying. I respect the opinion, but I'm sticking with Steph. You mentioned Andre and
you guys are homers. I'm taking John Wall now.
Did you not hear my amazingly well thought out response right there? That wasn't a homer take. That was solid analysis, my friend. We talked about Andre kind
you
of.
You guys know that Anthony Davis is a better long term bet, and that LeBron James is still the best player in the world. You know that.
LeBron James, I can understand. Anthony Davis has some injury concerns. We can't say that that's not true. I mean, his future is remarkably bright. But I will concede that you're right. Based on paper, if I'm taking a fantasy pick and I'm not worried about running a system, Anthony Davis is my guy. But you got to concede with what I just said about the system. Or let me ask you straight out: if the Warriors replaced Steph with Anthony Davis, would they be 23-0 right now? Hell no. Come on, Rusty. Be honest.
No, they wouldn't.
There you go.
They wouldn't. And what Scott said about him taking over some games reminds me so much of Steve Kerr talking about the 72-10 year where Jordan 5-7 times that year just said, get out of my way. We're not losing this game. And Curry has gotten into that mode a couple of times. Because he's chasing this thing, he's after this history. But if they go 34-0 to start the season and lose in the finals, then that doesn't do you any good.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And I will concede that Anthony Davis is a hell of a player. I was going to ask you about Andre, but I'm going to bang that and go in a different direction. Scott and I were a little critical of Klay Thompson during the last episode. Two episodes back, you were telling us about the concerns that he had with his back. Looks like that stuff's behind him, huh? He's had 5 games straight with 20 points or more, put up 10 three-pointers, too shy of the all-time single game record last night. Safe to say that Klay is back and we don't have to worry about him outside of his right ankle, physically speaking?
Yeah, I don't think back issues ever go away, but his hips have been stretched out enough that he's getting some relief there, so that's good. And then last night comes back in and rolls his ankle. And it's so tough to tell with Klay because, this is a guy who didn't miss a game in his life until his grandfather died. Like, he doesn't he doesn't sit out games because he's hurt. He doesn't even understand when he's hurt. So it's really hard to tell with him. But he says his ankle's no big deal and he wants to play on Friday against Boston. I would guess that the Warriors are going to be super cautious with him and not let him play. But it looks like the back is at least under control and the ankle is not going to be something that's going to be there for very long.
I should ask you this. Apparently I can't get enough Steph talk. I got sidetracked by the Anthony Davis argument. Give me a story from the road trip. You notice anything with Steph?
Yeah, I noticed everything with him.
I'm asking for a good tidbit from the road. I mean, it's a softball, man. And you tell me, are there any interesting stories that you can tell us about Steph from this most recent road trip?
Yeah, I guess my favorite one is that, you know, Steph is not normally the guy who does the bulletin board material. When he gets elected into the Hall of Fame, he's not going to do the Michael Jordan thing where he keeps track of all the guys who hated against him. He's not that guy. Like he walks around all the time and introduces himself to everybody, people who already know him as Stephen Curry, and thinks everybody's kind of nice and probably on his side. He doesn't think negatively about a lot of people. He was watching a Clippers Toronto Raptors game. And he apologized for bringing this up in the media. He was like, I know this is not me, but it bothered me. They said that the Spurs would have won a championship last year if they got out of the first round. And so I said, look, when you go back to Toronto, doesn't that make you want to beat them by 20? And he said, no, I'll just wink. And so when he's going nuts in Toronto, he goes by Media Row, and he's trying to find the broadcaster. It's obvious. It's clear. He's skipping back slower than he ever has. He's trying to find the person, and he can't. And so after the game, I chase him down in the hallway once all the other media throng is gone. And I was like, did you ever find him? Did you ever wink at him? And meanwhile, Drake is trying to get Curry's attention. And Curry's like, man, hold up. Man. I'm talking to somebody, which I thought was cool.
That's awesome. So you are actually more important than Drake, man. Nicely played.
For about 5-10 seconds, yeah, I was more important than Drizzy. So finally, Steph's like, man, I couldn't find him. And he says, so you can just tell everybody I winked at Drake. And that's how he brought Drake into the conversation, as he always does. That's a perfect segue.
Nicely played. Okay, last Warriors update thing. This one is kind of negative, but it sure as hell caught my attention. We had more than a few people send this link to us. So Stephen A. Smith has a show on Sirius Radio. I'm not sure if it's basketball only, but you know, he is on satellite. And he had the following quote about why Mark Jackson deserves more credit than either Steve Kerr or Luke Walton do for the Warriors' current success. Here's the quote.
And if the 20-0 record is going to count towards anything, it should count towards Luke Walton because it might facilitate him getting another head coaching job. But you'll have to forgive me if I don't give a damn about either guy's record right now. The person that I'm thinking about is Mark Jackson. Do y'all remember that dude? You know the dude that inherited a mess that was the Golden State Warriors? You know the Golden State Warriors that stunk until he arrived? You know the same Golden State Warriors squad that he got it to back-to-back playoff appearances in a 51-win season? You know the same guy that sat up there and took on this team when it was a mess? That guy who happens to be a well-paid, astute, bona fide big-time analyst for ESPN and ABC right now. You know that, Mark Jackson? You heard of him? It is amazing to me how everybody is sitting there jockeying for position to give credit to Luke Walton and Steve Kerr when I can make a legitimate argument that neither of them deserve the credit that Mark Jackson deserves for the job that he did prior to all of this stuff being what it is.
Let me start by saying there is absolutely no question Mark Jackson deserves some credit. He helped turn the mental standpoint of this team completely around. He took a franchise used to losing and instilled a winning attitude starting in his first summer league. So I will immediately give him credit for that. But giving Mark Jackson credit for this team's success is like giving the person who invented the car credit for how fast a Porsche can go. If you can't see what additions Kerr and Walton have made to this team, if you literally think that this is just a natural progression of what Jackson put in, then I think that you are being disingenuous, being ridiculous, and are screaming for no reason. That take bothered me, Rusty, and I think it has absolutely no real base in reality. What do you guys think?
Yeah, it bothered me for another reason. I've heard the whole take, and at one point, or several points during it, Stephen A. Smith tries to make it a racial argument. And that really bothers me because there are so many racist things going on in the country. My buddy flew out to Baltimore this week to cover the Freddie Mae case. And there are a lot of things that deserve attention for racism. And this is not one of them. And so that kind of stuff bothers me. The rest of what he says, there's some merit to it. I give Mark Jackson credit all the time. Things that we say every day are things that Mark Jackson instituted with this team. Confidence is a monster. The Warriors play with confidence. You know, the way that Stephen Curry has improved and it thinks that he's now the baddest dude on the court, that's from Mark Jackson. There are a ton of things that he brought to this team, and he was the perfect guy for those first 3 years. And then he hit a ceiling, and that's okay. That's what he had to offer. It was brilliant for what it was, but that's what he had to offer. Steve Kerr came in and turned it into a championship climate, and that's what he had to offer. So when you win titles and you're on the verge of a dynasty, there's enough credit to go around, and everybody's giving credit to everybody. Luke Walton's giving credit to Kerr, and Kerr's giving credit to Walton. And every time he gets a chance, Kerr gives credit to Jackson. There's enough credit to go around when you're this good. I don't think there's anyone who's discrediting what Jackson did.
Yeah.
But Kerr and Walton have taken it to another level.
And I'm not really even sure after his 7 minutes tirade, and we only played you a little bit of it, I'm really not sure what his point is. Like, you know, is it that Mark Jackson doesn't have a head coaching job and he should? Is it that people are giving?
If that's his point, he's never talked to Mark Jackson before. And I respect Stephen A. Smith. He started at newspapers. He was great in Philadelphia, did fantastic work there. But he's turned into a TV hack. So if his point was that Mark Jackson's not a coach and that's a problem, well, he's never talked to Mark Jackson because Mark Jackson doesn't want to be a coach.
Okay, exactly.
He's not chasing jobs. He's not trying to go get one. He got exactly what he wanted out of being a head coach. He got enough money to start a church, and he's changing people's lives doing that. He didn't want to be a coach when he was with the Warriors. He didn't want to have practices. He didn't want to study film. That is not what he was born to do. He was born to change lives through the ministry, and that's what he's doing. Now he has enough money to do it.
I feel so unusually proud, Rusty. I feel like I've slowly lured you towards the dark side, man. The idea that you take a shot that he is a TV hack, I'm smiling from ear to ear. Just nicely played, man. I think we are all absolutely in agreement. Final point, and picks up right where you left off, Scotty. We don't have to guess what he is capable of doing with this team. Actually, we watched Mark Jackson coach this team. In fact, we watched him coach with a healthy David Lee. He never got more than 51 wins and never got to the second round. So we know exactly where his ceiling hit and exactly what Kerr has added going from there. New segment, one I'm kind of fired up for. It's entitled Worse Than Wet Socks. And it's the things that we found to be remarkably annoying since our last podcast. For the record, this title, Worse Than Wet Socks, little G-rated, and you can guess which one of us came up with it. I thought it should be Worse Than Shit in Your Pants, but it is what it is. We'll keep it with Worse Than Wet Socks. Here are the two things that bothered me, one far more than the other. One was Jeremy Lin's hair. I thought he looked like Rufio from that movie Pan, but we don't have to take too many shots at Jeremy Lin. I want to focus my attention on the Kyle Lowry flag in Toronto. I don't know if you guys saw this thing, but every single time that Kyle Lowry did anything, score, assist, fall down, some guy dressed up in Toronto gear ran across the bottom of my TV screen with a gigantic flag with Kyle Lowry's face on it, and then it said like "ooh" or something written at the bottom. What the hell was that? If you want to project how good Kyle Lowry's got now that he's lost all this weight, I understand. And if they had some kind of meeting in Toronto and they're like, how do we get this guy's face out there? Fine. But you elected for the flag? That thing just almost made my face explode with annoyance. Did you guys actually see that?
Yeah, it was awful. And I feel like a terrible reporter because I don't know why the "woo" is at the bottom of it. Like Stephen Curry, a lot of times when something amazing happens, says, "Hey," and even Riley does that when she ate her first bite of pizza. She's like, "This is delicious." "Hey," when Klay Thompson goes out and plays and does his pregame shoot around, his first thing that he ever does when he walks out there is says, "Let's go." So maybe like that's something that Kyle Lowry says after a shot. Maybe he says "woo." I don't know. But for some reason, this flag with his face on it and "woo" goes across. And it's annoying. It covers the sight line for the first 12 rows, the people who pay the most money at the entire arena.
It covers my entire screen.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. You can't even see the score. Also, let the record reflect, I am currently waving a flag with my face on it saying, "I hate Kyle Lowry." I mean, it's just something I like to say every time I podcast. You know, it just comes naturally for me.
You can't hate him. He's on your fantasy team.
And that actually goes to a whole other thing we don't have to jump down to now. But at some point, we have to discuss whether or not it's okay to root for your fantasy player while they're playing your favorite team. Not today. Maybe a topic for a future social justice segment.
Yeah, I got to say, that flag, and it's... And Rusty, I wish you had done some reporting and got to the bottom of it, because it's the no explanation for it is what is killing me. It's just... What is that? Whose idea? Why are they doing that? Who thought it would be something that anyone in that arena or watching the game wanted to see?
The closest answer I got to it was one of the Toronto reporters said that the Air Canada Center had been told that their game ops people had been told to be more risque this year. And right after the national anthem and the Canadian anthem, they played a song that ended with 12 straight stanzas of F-U, F-U, F-U.
Hey, and I'm starting to like Toronto even more now, man.
Yeah, so that was their thing. They were like, maybe this is supposed to be risque that we have this flag. But to me, that was a long way away from a song that says F-U 12 times in a row.
Yeah, you think whatever. So? Leave it to Canada for their definition of risque to be a giant face flag. You know, I mentioned...
And it's like chubby face Kyle Lowry.
Yes, yes, it's obviously a past one. Yeah. Exactly. I'd like to hear Kyle Lowry. Does he like this thing? There's no way that his agent's like, "Oh, I'm so happy his face is on a flag." All right. Yeah. Last segment, social justice. Here we go through things that have happened in our past, decide whether or not they are socially acceptable. I am proud to say, Rusty, that this one involves you. A little bit of background, and then Scott, I need your opinion. So obviously, chasing Rusty down during a road trip is remarkably hard. This guy has a ton of things on his plate. He's traveling through like 80 cities in 5 days, not getting any sleep. So we understand that, you know, and we had to plan it out in advance. So last week, Scott and I reach out. We pick out a date with his blessing. We pick out a time that works. Day before, shoot him a text. You down? He says, yeah. Day of, shoot him a text. You ready? We're going to call you at about 7. No problem. 20 minutes before, I think.
6 minutes.
6 minutes. 6 minutes before, shoot him a text. What's up, man? You ready to go? Back it comes. Yeah, no problem. Call him. Nothing. Nothing at all. Wait. Called. Nothing. Nothing again. Those who listened last week will remember he wasn't on the show because the bastard fell asleep. I mean, you know, ostensibly fell asleep. We never got to do it. Do the show without him, then get a text, 4:45 in the morning from Rusty explaining to us, "Hey, sorry, gentlemen, I was up 60 straight hours and fell asleep while waiting for you." Now, Scott, I'm the emotional center of the show. I'm insane, neurotic. I get angry for no reason. You've always obtained a far better kind of measured response. So 60 hours is a lot of hours. You know, I mean, like I can understand that, and he's real busy. So was that response, him passing out, not working with us despite all that heads up, socially acceptable, or what do you think?
Well, I think, you know, I've been on the grind before, and when somebody wants, you agree on a time, and then it was actually Bram who put everything back 25 minutes.
Oh, wow, this turned on me?
And so Bram says, I got to delay things 25 minutes, and it was that 25 minutes which really cost us, and which I could see somebody falling asleep
in
that time.
You are such a pussy. That is the biggest pussy response I have ever heard in my life.
I mean, Rusty, you obviously get to weigh in on this.
Oh, my God. I can't believe how this has turned. Go ahead, Rusty. What's your take?
I was going to do a full mea culpa, but now that I realize that is actually what happened, I was ready to go. And then 25 minutes later, you guys still hadn't called. So I was like, well, I guess these guys flaked. I'm out. I finally got to sleep at some point.
This is just I literally have been.
No. The realistic thing that happened is I was ready to do it. And I told this to Bram off the air. I said, it's kind of like, well, I love doing this. I think you guys are awesome. And you make me think about things. I get real close to the Warriors, and you guys make me think about the outside perspective. I think this is good for all of us. So I love doing these things. And it was kind of like those late nights that you have at home when you're a kid, and whether it's your mom coming home or your dad coming home, or you know that your birthday's the next day, and if you can just stay up a little bit longer, you can go down and see what the present is once your parents go to sleep. Anytime you're trying your hardest to stay awake, you fail. It makes it more and more difficult. And that, to me, that's what it was. I was excited to do it, and I knew I was running on fumes, but I was ready to do it. And 6 minutes is all it takes, man. When you're trying to fight it and you want to do it, you're going to be knocked out soon.
Well, Rusty, that was a, let's see, sensitive, well-measured, nice, and remarkably complimentary response. And let me say in response to that, go F yourself. I do not accept your apology, even though you didn't give it to us. I think that you're an asshole for falling asleep. And,
oh, yeah, I don't apologize.
I noticed that. And, you know, while we're here, let me also say F you to you, too, Scotty. I mean, I try to basically throw you a knowledge branch. We can take a bunch of shots at Rusty. He's not even in the room. You know what I mean? And you still go out of your way to pat him on the back. So F you both. I can't believe it's socially unacceptable for both of you.
Well, no, I mean, I was...
That's all you got? Just socially unacceptable? You're not going to really take the shot?
That's the segment. What are you talking about? We're trying to determine whether or not it was socially acceptable behavior. This is my ultimate emperor's ruling. My thumb goes down, my friend. It is what it is. Hopefully, we won't have to argue about this in the future, and hopefully I won't get stabbed in the back by Scotty again.
So when does the streak end? I think a more interesting question is how is it going to end?
I said 34. That's what I said last week, and I stick by it now. For as long as they're motivated and they continue to have the talent advantage that they do, I say they get past the 33, and I'm not talking about incorporating. This isn't the loophole cheating response. We're not talking about the four that the NBA is incorporating from past season. I mean this year, 33 straight or 34 straight.
I'll stick with what I said, too. I think they're going to lose the next game.
Boston?
Just any next game, I think they're going to lose.
What is this?
We're probably not going to tape again before Milwaukee.
No, we will not be.
So yeah. I think they're going to lose Boston. If they don't win, if they don't lose that one, I think they're going to lose Milwaukee. I think the first home game after that is Phoenix. If they haven't lost yet, I think it's going to be that one.
So they got a back-to-back, Boston then Milwaukee. Are they going to rest anyone on that Milwaukee game?
Yes. Yeah. And I think it's actually now going to start in Boston. I think they're going to sit guys. And they're going to lose one of these games.
I'm hoping that you're doing a reverse jinx here. Also, just for the record, Scott has been pointing to the time that we've been going too late for at least the last 5 minutes, hurrying me up. When I tried to close it up here, he's asked you 3 follow-up questions. So I'm a little bit lost in what's going on. But
there analytics on this? Is it like, hey, if a podcast goes this long, people are tuned out?
No, not at all. They can stop at any point.
Yeah, but Scott tunes out as the editor.
Yeah, and Bram hates third-person references. So it is what it is. With that in play, huge fun, you guys. Certainly true every week and absolutely true this week. Please remember, you want to reach out to us. We can be hit at warriorshuddle@gmail.com if you want to shoot us an email. If you're a Twitter person, we are at warriorshuddle. Rusty, if I remember correctly, had some terrible underscore in his Twitter handle. Where can we find you, Rusty?
Man, everybody already knows.
All right, Big League. Well, then, for all of you who don't know, too bad for you now. Our website remains at warriorsworld.net. We're on a ton of podcasting services. Get out there and rate us. Thank you guys for listening. Go Warriors, and hopefully we'll see you next week.
Good.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.